Praise the Lord. Zoe, is this on? Okay. Hallelujah. God is good, amen? Hallelujah. Are you blessed today? Happy to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. So good. Isaiah, it's one of the primary scriptures that we go to when we're looking for the prophecies that refer to the coming of Jesus. Prophecies regarding the Messiah are throughout the Old Testament. The Old Testament is a precursor to the New Testament. There was an Old Testament, Old Covenant, there was a New Covenant. This New Covenant is based on the Old Covenant, but it's a better covenant, as we've been told. It's a better covenant based on better promises and a more able Savior. It's not because of the blood of bulls and goats, but according to the blood of our Savior, the one and only Son of God, Jesus. That's our salvation. Amen. So good to have my granddaughter here visiting with us this morning. Aria's first time at church. Isn't that great? Amen. Amen. Luke and Audrey right there with her. That's good. What a blessing. I may be distracted. I may be looking at this baby all morning. She's so pretty. Y'all got pretty babies too, I'm sure. Amen. Isaiah chapter 9. We could read more of it, but we'll not read all of it because we're going to look at a little bit of Jeremiah too this morning and a little bit of Daniel. All right? Because we want to talk about the fact that Jesus was prophesied. Jesus was intended from the very beginning. It wasn't just like an accident that had happened. Well, nothing else worked, you know, so I guess we'll have to nuke this thing and send Jesus. No, God decided from the foundation of the world that He was sending Jesus. There's all this other business, because Jesus came when? He came in the fullness of time. You may be wondering, when is my need going to get met? It'll get met in the fullness of time. Amen? Amen. You've been waiting on this thing or that thing or one thing or another thing. Is that in the fullness of time is when God meets needs and when God takes care of things that are going on in your life. The fullness of time really has something to do with you, doesn't it? It has to do with what God's doing in you, because He wants to train you. He wants to work on the inside of you. He wants to love you. God just wants to do one thing. He just wants to love you. He wants you to understand that He loves you more than anything else in this universe. Amen? God loves you. The King of heaven, who created heaven and earth, who created Adam and Eve, loves you in particular. And that's why He's sending Jesus. And that's why He sent Him in the fullness of time. And all of these prophecies were fulfilled, the ones that said that Jesus is coming. They're all fulfilled in Christ Jesus. Amen. So let's look here at Isaiah chapter 9. For unto us, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon His shoulder. And His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. All right. Now, so this child, so we're going to have a child that's born. How many know all kings are born as children, right? So Jesus came into this world as a man. Jesus had to come in as a child. Unto us a child is born. So, because the problem lay in the fact that a man sinned, therefore a man had to pay the price. A man had to pay the price for redemption. and there was no man worthy. There was no man that had no sin. There, all men were all, you know, always disqualified. They were all disqualified because they had sin. They could not be a perfect sacrifice. You remember the sacrifices had to be, the sheep had to be without blemish. Well, you didn't have sinful sheep or sinful goats or sinful bulls, you know, but they had blemishes. And so the idea that you had to have a sacrifice without blemish. In the case of a man is blemished by sin. You and I are blemished by sin, every one of us, because of our heritage, because of Adam's sin, we sinned. The sin of Adam came and upon all mankind. The sin of Adam came on everybody. So you can rest assured that you are needing of a Savior because sin has qualified you for destruction. David said, "In sin did my mother conceive me." So David's mother was married to her husband and married to his dad, you know. So, well, what are you talking about? It's because in sin, the fact that men and women have sin by their nature. They have sin by their nature. You are not sinless because you didn't sin. You are not sinless. You are sinful not because you sinned, even though you have. You're not sinful because you've sinned less or more than somebody else. You're sinful because of the nature that you carry. You had I had a couple of kids who had a gene thing going on, a gene problem. And when the mom and the dad had that, both of them had that same gene, there was a possibility that a child could have a particular disorder. And they actually have two of them like that. And so, but that gene defect or that gene issue, problem, was something that they had carried. Not something I did, not something their mother did, not something somebody did, it just was there. And for you, sin is there. You have to have a Savior. You have to have a means by which you can be delivered from the power of sin. That's why the Father sent Jesus, and that's why He came. He came to deliver you from the power of sin. And He had to come as a man. He couldn't come as just God, you know, shining God. He can't be God and get rid of man's sin. He has to become man to live as a man, and then to, as a man, as a perfect man, take on your sin. And that's what happened. Jesus was born in the fullness of time, thousands of years. We had a law that was going to keep everything straight until Jesus came in the fullness of time. So Jesus came in the fullness of time as a man, as a sinless man, to take upon you the sin, take upon Himself the sin of the world, to take upon Himself my sin, your sin. And the only thing that's required is for me to say thank you. Just to put faith and hope in that promise. Faith and hope in that sacrifice. That's it. That's it. You're free. And then God begins to move in to you by the Holy Spirit and change you and transform you into His image. Amen? So, unto us, why a child? Because He had to come as a man. And God didn't just, you know, just drop Him out of heaven. He raised Him up. He birthed Him as a man and then had Him live as you live. He had to be a man fully and receive and live in this world as you would live, yet without sin. He didn't just, you know, just pop in on the cross, sinful man, and got it's almost kind of the easy way out, right? The hardest thing was living in this world, being tempted in every way like you were. Just like you. He lived just exactly like you. Tempted in every way like you, by food, pizza, ice cream, you know. Yeah. All kinds of things that tempt people in the world. Jesus was tempted in every way like you were, yet without sin. So unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. So it's a gift. He's a gift, isn't he? He's a gift. Jesus is a gift. And the government will be upon his shoulder. So leadership and rulership will be upon his shoulder, will be upon him. He will rule the entire society, the entire planet. Jesus will rule, and the government will be upon his shoulder. Now listen to this. And his name will be called Wonderful. Now is it Wonderful Counselor or Wonderful? I like it where it's Wonderful. Comma. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. So these are the names of Jesus. These are the names of your Savior. He is the Mighty God. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Wonderful. It's just wonderful. Just wonderful. Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah, is wonderful to you. He's your counselor. He's your mighty God. He is your Prince of Peace. So peace comes to you. Jeff talking this morning about peace. Yeah, I mean, not being anxious, not being full of care. He is your peace. He is our peace, isn't he? Jesus is our peace. It says, he's your everlasting Father. Must mean you're everlasting too because of Jesus. You live forever. You ever thought about living forever? You probably thought about dying. You probably thought about, well, you know, gee, got to get my life insurance and dying, you know, figure out, you know, how we take care of everything when we're dying. Because that's our society. Our whole society is based on death, isn't it? Our whole society, our whole world is based on death. Jesus' whole society is based on life everlasting. Are you ready for that? I'm ready for that. How about that? Let's just live forever and just skip this death thing altogether. Some people aren't going to get to do that, but we'll do that. And I want you to encourage everybody you know. Hey, you know you could. You could actually live forever. I don't know about that. Well, you better prepare for it. You ought to live forever somewhere. You might as well live in the presence of God than in the presence of the devil. Amen? Scripture does talk about everlasting fire. I believe in that. Just because the Bible talks about it. Jesus talked about it quite a bit. But he also talked about you. He said, you shall have everlasting life. Amen? So the government here and for eternity is going to be on his shoulder. And listen, verse 7, read this. Of the increase of his government, so his government's going to increase. And peace. So two things. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Wow. So, his government is going to continually increase. He's going to be governor over everything forever and forever. And it'll continually increase of the increase of his government. And what else is going to increase? Peace. The increase of his government and peace. So it's not government and peace, but it's the increase of it that there will be no end. Of the increase of his government and peace. Now, I don't even know how to quantify that. Do you? How can the increase of his government have no end? Don't you kind of reach the end of the planet or reach the end of the earth or something? I don't know. But all I know is, what happens is of the increase of his government and peace, the increase of His peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice. So part of that increase of government and peace is ordering and establishing that throne with judgment and justice. From that time, what time is that? The time that Jesus returns. From that time forward, even forever. And it says here finally that the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts. That is the intent of God in His fullness. The intent of God in His fullness. The zeal. Zeal sounds like woohoo. Zeal sounds like somebody's excited about something going on. I mean, when you talk about zeal, don't you talk about something that you really, really like and really looking forward to? That's what we're looking forward to. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. He's ready for this. He wants it all. Jesus is like, can we go now? You know, Father, can we do it now? You know, Jesus wanted to go up. When He went up, He wanted to come right back down. You remember the guys were all, hey, Jesus, when's all this going to happen? Well, nuts, it's not for you guys to know. You know, your Father won't even tell me when it is or what it is, you know. But don't worry, it's happening. It's coming soon. Previews of coming attractions. You know, we'll give you power over sickness and disease and devils. You know, those are previews of coming attractions. So, the zeal of the Lord of hosts. Do you have that? Do you have the zeal of the Lord of hosts? I do. Sometimes it kind of wanes a little bit. Sometimes stuff goes on. You ever have that? You know, like that guy shows up in your store, Jeff, you know, and you kind of feel like you got to deal with it. You know, then kind of the zeal is like, Jesus, where are you? I had some zeal this morning, but it kind of got a little old, you know. Or things that moms have to do, like, you know, Shannon, you know, moms had to do stuff, and kind of sometimes the zeal just kind of goes out, you know. But still, or, you know, you're changing diapers here, you know, and being woke up all night every night for nights on end. You know, or you, like my other kids here, staying up all night. They're working all day and then staying up all night with sick kids with, you know, respiratory junk, all that kind of stuff. You know, your zeal kind of wanes. No. Listen, your zeal never wanes, I want to tell you. Your zeal never wanes. The zeal of the Lord of hosts, that will do it. See, the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you, and He's always excited. Amen? He's always excited. He's never disappointed. He's never fearful. He's never like, oh, man, it's not looking good. It just doesn't look like things are going to work out right. No, never. Everything is always going to work out according to God's plan. Are you rejoicing in that? And now you don't get all the details, so you find things that you think are surprises. God's not surprised. He is not surprised. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Jesus is coming. The government shall be upon His shoulder. And of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end. So I'm remembering that daily, right? I'm remembering that every single day because this is my life. My life is living here in Christ Jesus, and He is never letting me down. You know, and people do that. People, well, you know, I don't like serving God. He didn't answer my prayer. You know, you don't even know anything. You're not God. You have no idea. You have some concept about everything that goes on as if you know what's up. You don't. You could die tomorrow. You could go to be with the Lord tomorrow. You don't know what's happening. Amen. Don't sweat it. Every day, get up and rejoice and sing. Amen. The living God He resides on the inside of you. Amen. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Doesn't say he might. Says he will. Says he'll do it. He'll get it all done. I'm ready. Aren't you ready? I said, aren't you ready? Hallelujah. Amen. Listen. Okay, let's look over at Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. Praise the Lord. Daniel chapter 2, verse 27. Here we have Daniel in the presence of Nebuchadnezzar. I don't know if you remember this story. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. He can't remember the dream. So he's about to kill off all of his wizards and all of his great counselors because they can't manage to figure out what the king dreamed because he forgot. That's a pretty tough deal, you know. Okay, you work for me, and your job is to tell me what I dreamed last night because I forgot it. And then you got to tell me what it means once you tell me. Because once you tell me what it is, I'll remember it. So if you try to tell me something I didn't dream, I'll know it. I'll know what it is when you tell me. So in chapter 2 of Daniel, verse 27 says, Daniel, he's already been called for. Daniel answered in the presence of the king, said, the secret which the king has demanded, and the wise men, and the astrologers, and magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare it, but there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he's made known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days, and your dream and the visions of your head and upon your bed were these. And he goes about to tell him about the statue. And he goes in and tells him about, you remember the, I'll rehearse this quick briefly, is the statue that Nebuchadnezzar sees, and the head was of gold, the chest was of silver, the legs were of bronze, and the lower legs and the feet were of iron and clay in the feet. So we have this statue that he sees, and these are all kingdoms that are going to, and the kingdom of gold is Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, and that's the greatest kingdom. And after that kingdom is going to come another one, that'll be just silvery. And then another one will be just bronzy, not even as good as that. And then another one's going to be iron. And then the other one's just going to kind of fall apart and be iron and clay, and it's not even going to hold together. So those are the kingdoms that are in that in that statue that Daniel is telling the king about, King Nebuchadnezzar. But he says one more thing here at the end of that dream. It says this, that verse 35, then the iron, the clay, and the bronze, and the silver, and the gold were crushed together and came like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Now, I missed a verse here. Okay, he was talking about, back up, in verse 33. It says, it's legs of iron, feet partly of iron and partly of clay. Verse 34, he's talking to the king, and he says, you watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. So this dream contained this stone that destroyed the entire image, that destroyed the entire statue. And then here, okay, he said, now here's the meaning of the dream. Now this is the dream. Now we'll tell you the interpretation of it before the king. He said, you are the king, and you, O king, are a king of kings. For the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or beasts of the field, and birds of the heaven, he has given them into your hand and made you ruler over them all. you are this head of gold. But after you shall arise another kingdom, inferior to yours, then another, a third kingdom, which shall rule over all the earth, and a fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters all things like iron that crushes. That kingdom will break in pieces and crush all others. Guess which one that one was? That was Rome. Verse 41, whereas you saw the feet and the toes partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided and the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. Verse 42, this is Daniel 2:42. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. And you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay, and will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of these things, of these kings, the God of heaven will yet set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch, verse 45, as you saw that stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke it in pieces, the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. So that stone, the stone that was cut out and destroyed all these other kingdoms, is that child which is born. That child which is born, that kingdom which destroys all other kingdoms, and of his kingdom, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. That's this kingdom that Daniel is prophesying to King Nebuchadnezzar. Inasmuch as you saw the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands. See, that stone was cut without hands. That stone was cut by God Himself. The stone is Jesus. Jeremiah chapter 23. Verse 5 and 6. Behold, Jeremiah 23. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved. And Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. So Jeremiah is talking about the King of Kings, Jesus, that his name shall be called the Lord, our righteousness. So he is coming to transform us and to change us. He becomes our righteousness. So my righteousness is not because of something I've been able to do, but it's a gift. My righteousness is a gift. So enjoy that gift. So much of religion is something that is put upon you that you have to do. You have to perform. You have to look like something. No, let's worship Him and glorify Him, thanking Him for His finished work. That's what God has done. He performed a work by his own strength. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Then he cut a rock, a stone, out of the mountain with his own hand. And he destroyed all the kingdoms of the earth. And gave a kingdom unto David. The scripture says that God will not fail to have a king on the throne of David. Because David was a man after God's own heart. So he says, in his days, Judah will be saved. And Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called. The Lord our righteousness. Okay, Jeremiah 31, just over a few pages. Jeremiah 31, verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord, that I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin will I remember no more. So this is a covenant that God is saying that He will make with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And the function of that covenant is that He will now put the law into their hearts. And into their minds. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God. And they shall be my people. So this is what God does. Once we receive the sacrifice for sin, and you remember we had this Apostles' Creed that we recited today. The Apostles' Creed says something important. It says, I believe. He says, I believe. Everybody say that. I believe. All right. Did you hear yourself? You know, it's always good to hear yourself say stuff. Amen. Oh, was that me? Did I say that? I believe. See, a lot of times your thinker is not in line with your believer. You ever notice that? Because you got fearful. Sometimes you get fearful. Sometimes you think things aren't working the way things ought to work. You know, if you've got a kingdom of heaven on the inside of you, everything is working just fine. Everything is working just fine. Everything is working the way it's supposed to work. Well, brother, I don't know if I believe that. Well, go back to your Bible. Go back to the Word of God. Go back to the promise of God. He said, I'm going to write my law on their minds and on their hearts. See, the problem here in this world is we have all kinds of action going on that's not even close to looking into God's law. It's its own law. It's been created with external ideas and external experiences. The laws of this world are based on sin, and they're based on people wanting to find their own way out of sin. These are not God's laws. Now, no matter how interesting they sound, or how good they sound, or how excellent they sound, like they're really taking care of the problem. They're not taking care of the problem because they have no basis in the law of God. They just have a basis in helping you try to bust out of a paper bag. Huh? Yeah, I mean, you're trying to bust out of your little trouble, and you can't do it. And there's no way to do it. Well, apart from Him, we could do nothing. See? So the problem is that no matter how people try to work this thing out and try to discuss it and try to nail it down, they can't nail it down because there's nothing in them to do it. I will write my law in their minds and in their hearts. And we recited this creed this morning. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. Amen. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of the mighty hand of God. Sits on the right hand of God Almighty. From there He will come. He will come to judge. Justice and judgment coming. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. I believe in the Holy Spirit. That's the one who writes the law on your heart. It's on my heart. It's right. It's written down. Just like God wrote it on those tables of stone, now He wrote it on a heart of flesh. He wrote His law on my heart. It's in there. He wrote it. What version should I read? Well, read one of them and then go to Jesus, and then pray. Amen. Read one of them. Just read it. Read the Word of God, and then let the Holy Spirit speak to you. He's speaking to you right now. Amen? He's speaking to you right now. This is the covenant that I will make with Israel after those days. And you know what the job of Israel was, right? With this covenant. The job of Israel with this covenant was to tell the whole world about it. Oops. They just decided it was their covenant. Glory to God. I think it's my covenant. You don't get a covenant, I get one. But then all they wanted to do was be like Baal. They just wanted to be like the other gods. It's kind of like what we're doing. We just wanted to be like all the other people. Can't we just be like the other people? No. Because you're not like the other people. It's like you told your kids when you were growing up, when they were growing up, can't we be like the other little kids? No. You can't be like the other little kids. They're sinners. Their parents are teaching them wicked stuff. We're teaching you Jesus stuff, you know. Can I do this? No. Because we love you. Why? Because we love you. Amen. So, He says, here's this covenant. And He's going to write, here's the covenant. And I'm going to write it on your heart and on your mind and your heart. And then He says, you're going to be a light to the Gentiles. He told Abraham He's going to be the father of how many? Many nations. Many nations. Well, I thought it was just one nation, just Israel. No. You're going to be the father of many nations. You are a light to the Gentiles. So all the Gentiles get to get in. That means you and me. Me and Joyce. Joyce gets in. You know, it's great. I don't think she's Jewish, you know. I don't think, I doubt it. You know, I don't think Tony's Jewish. Could be wrong. I don't think so. I know Jeff isn't. He can't make any money. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't know, he might be making money. I don't know. And for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin, and I will remember it no more. And finally, chapter 33. Just flip over one page there. 33, verse 14. Behold, the days are coming. Don't you love all these days are coming? The days are coming. Put your eyes up. The days are coming. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will perform the good thing which I have promised to the house of Judah, to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, when's it going to happen? In those days and at that time, I will cause to grow up to David a branch of righteousness, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In those days Judah shall be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell safely, and this is the name by which that she, Israel and Judah, shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel, nor the priests nor the Levites lack a man to offer burnt offerings to me. God is setting up, He has already set up His kingdom, and He set up His covenant. And unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. We're coming upon the time that we're celebrating the entrance of the Savior. There's a lot of folks around, you know. Well, Jesus never told us to celebrate his birthday. Well, it's a testimony. It's not a religious festival. It's a celebration. It's a party. It's a birthday party. Not to worship gods of men, but today, celebrating the entrance of Jesus Christ, the Savior. The night that Jesus was born, the shepherds had a visitation. Didn't they? Shepherds had a visitation. A multitude of the heavenly host saying, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men. God celebrated when Jesus showed up. So I think it's okay. I think it's okay to celebrate that Jesus entered the world. All through the Old Testament, there was an anticipation, an expectation. I'll tell you where I think the birthday party of Jesus took place was in the temple when Simeon saw the boy come in. And Anna came in, you know, and all of a sudden he grabbed that baby and lifted that baby up and, you know, rejoicing and giving praise to God. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. I think Simeon was excited. He'd been going to the temple every day for years. And Anna, she'd been going to the temple looking for this baby to show up. That this baby would show up and save all of us from our sin and make an entrance for me into the kingdom of heaven. Aren't you rejoicing today? I mean, about this little boy that had been prophesied 2,000 years or more. That baby had been prophesied. You know the baby was prophesied in Genesis chapter 3, right? You know that. I mean, you guys are Bible students. Genesis chapter 3, after they were kicked out of the garden, you know, or after God yelled at them about the sin, you know, because it, but he kind of yelled at him, but he winked at it because he knew it was happening. And he said, the seed of the woman shall crush the head of the serpent, but the serpent will bruise his heel. That's the very first messianic prophecy. The seed of the woman. Who? A little baby. What's the seed of a woman? A little baby. The little baby was going to crush the head of the serpent. Do you believe your kids and grandkids are going to crush the head of the serpent? I believe my kids are going to crush the head of the serpent in this life. Hari is going to crush the head of the serpent. She's going to crush the devil. Step on his head. She's going to do that because she's going to be a woman of God, because her parents are raising her up to know the Lord Jesus. And she'll be a godly woman. So we're praising God for all of these things. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we just love you and thank you today that you're raising up unto us a son is given. Unto us a child is born. And the government of the whole creation will be upon his shoulder. Father, we thank you for that today. We thank you for your preparation and your provision that this new covenant has been implemented for us. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Thank you for leading us. Thank you for showing us. Thank you for walking us through these things, showing us your goodness and your graciousness, that all those things that we thought needed to be taken care of, you're doing them. You're walking with us through every circumstance. And we give you praise and we give you thanks in the name of Jesus. Amen. God is good. Amen. God is good. Praise the Lord. A couple of you men can help me with the offering today.